Okay, Birdie, welcome to the podcast. Welcome to the Healing Club.
Hello, hello.
All right, you're audible.
Okay, are we?
Yeah, we're recording now.
Oh, okay. Well, tell me shit.
That's why I said hello.
Okay,
Birdie, welcome to the Healing Club podcast.
I am healed.
Good.
I'm ready.
Okay, you ever listened to this before?
I've heard one.
Oh, okay.
So yes.
Which one did you listen to? I can't really hear it either in my mind.
Okay. I'm not sure. It's been a while ago.
Showing up. What?
It's been a while ago since I've actually listened to it, but I am familiar.
Okay. All right. So I don't really have anything planned to talk about, and this isn't about anything at all. I've got music playing in the background by Ricky Nelson, Lonesome Town. I was on a Quentin Tarantino kick watching the movie Jackie Brown. And watching Pulp Fiction.
I know Pulp Fiction. That's the only like Quentin and Kill Bill. Those are the only ones that I know. But I know of them, and I thought this was Tom Petty for the longest. So my,
you thought Kevin Morby was Tom Petty?
Well, dude, this sounds like the same fucking dude.
This is like 50 years later.
Oh shit!
He removed like a totally different voice, but
I thought it was the same person. So yeah, they're great.
Mm. Yeah, it's great. I finished reading a huge biography of Abraham Lincoln by David Herbert Donald.
Nice.
And I learned something that I thought was interesting. I underlined the words that were in the play My American Cousin when...
Wait, is that the play where he was shot?
Yeah, that was the play that was being performed while Lincoln was watching. And the words that... Okay, here are the lines in the play when John Wilkes Booth walked up behind Lincoln and they waited for a laugh. This was like this was the laugh line that was so uproarious that it masked the sound of the gunshot blasting Abraham Lincoln's head. And nobody knew what was going on because like somebody said, "Don't know the manners of good society, eh? Well, I guess I know enough to turn you inside out, old gal, you suck-dologizing old man-trap."
That's pretty killer. Nice.
Yeah, so. I thought I'd bring a little history and culture into the podcast.
Thank you. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Are there any things that you learned about him besides that you didn't know?
I think it's pretty interesting that I'm going to turn that music off. That was Jim Croce with the song "I Got a Name" that was featured in the Quentin Tarantino film Django Unchained. But anyway, we were talking about Lincoln, and I think it was reading about Lincoln reminded me of my personality in some ways, some uncomfortable ways. Like he was the commander in chief of the Union Army during the Civil War, and he would just walk around like nobody's gonna hurt me if I inspect the troops behind enemy lines. Or he had paid no attention to his safety, and he was like, there's nobody would ever want to cut my throat. He was one of the most hated men in the country. And
was he hated?
Yeah, by tons of people.
Even in the North.
Yeah. There were war Democrats and there were copperheads and there were like rebel sympathizers and there's just
all
like,
these sound like marbles that you would play as a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
But he just like it didn't like he just never thought that anybody would hurt him, you know, like or
boy, was he wrong.
And he was oblivious to enemies.
Yeah.
And he just thought in terms of strategy, and he was kind of, you know, like lost up in his stovepipe hat. You know, his brains were all up in there. You know?
So he was aloof.
Yeah. And I had an experience last Thursday when I was, closing out the show with the Riot. I was doing the cancel culture show.
Nice.
And it was supposed to be like the dirtiest, darkest, edgiest, most fucked up material you could do. And I did a lot of jokes that were fucked up, man. And then I, at the end of the show, I was like, well, that's my time. I hope you enjoyed everybody. Everybody have a good time. Some guy's like, no, real loud.
Nice. Last, like,
minute, like the 10 seconds I was on stage. I was like, okay, I had a good time, everybody.
So he closed out the show.
Yeah. And then I was like, well, you just ruined my whole night.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's fucking hilarious. Like, not going into the joke, but what was like your last joke? What was it that was kind of like?
I think it was, he didn't like my veteran stuff. He didn't like my fake veteran stuff. He thought I had stolen valor, that I was never actually in the army. Maybe he just didn't like believe my story, which was fake. But I just told fake stories.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. To be funny.
To be canceled.
Yeah.
Did you do the dick story about like, because you have like a.
Oh, yeah. I did the one about getting the dick rammed down my throat and then throwing up on it as he was coming. And then when I was cleaning the dude up, unbeknownst to me, while I was doing the cleanup, you know, like he'd like reached into my weed jar and stole all the weed that I'd bought earlier that day. It's not like I smoked all of it. And then he called he messaged me the next day, like, do you want to hook up again? And I was like, no.
You should have said yeah and got your weed back.
I should have got my weed back.
Yeah, yeah. He was probably smoked by then.
Actually, it was worth not seeing him again and just being like, okay,
nice.
Well,
nice. Yeah.
Maybe he stole my weed.
Wait. He called you back after the vomit?
Yeah.
It's probably because you cleaned it up.
What?
Like, it's probably because you cleaned it up. Had
well, what
you
am
not,
I supposed to do?
Well, hell, he stole your weed.
Leave it there? There you go.
Yeah, kind of.
Just keep fucking.
Right.
Just like, no, just like.
Right. Lube. Yeah.
You ever choke on a dick?
No. I hadn't. I've got a loose throat.
Oh.
So, it's a condition.
Yeah. I vomit a lot when I drink, you know.
I don't do that either, and I drink a lot.
Oh yeah.
Cheers.
Cheers. I think we're really healing ourselves.
Yeah.
I feel healed. This has been,
don't talk too soon. Let me get to the end of this cup. We'll see.
Mm. Yeah. I got some champagne.
Champagne. Yeah.
I got some champagne.
It's good. It's delicious.
It's the crown of Capasaldo sparkling peach.
Nice.
You got a sparkling peach champagne.
All right, very
from
peachy.
The strip club.
Oh, nice.
Was one of those non-drinkers. Like, went upstairs, but you got to buy a bottle to get upstairs. And the
wait,
bottle's
I heard
like $500.
I heard there's no champagne in the champagne room.
There's no sex in the champagne room.
Oh.
I think that's the...
Okay, wasn't that like the song? It was like Chris
that
Rock.
Was, yeah, Chris Rock said there's no sex in the champagne room.
Okay, I thought it was champagne. I just heard champagne.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm.
Wait, there's no sex in the
there
champagne?
There is no sex in the champagne room.
Wink, wink.
No, there is no sex in the champagne room.
Fight
That's
Club.
The song. That's the name of the song.
Oh, no. I'm asking, is there sex in the champagne room?
There is. Well, I mean, how do I know? I don't know anything. I've never been. Yeah.
You just took the champagne? You didn't bother
but,
to look
But the person didn't want the champagne, and the waitress, it's, you know, I shouldn't be talking about that. I shouldn't.
No.
This is illegal.
Yes. What are you talking about?
I don't know. I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything.
Okay.
Let's move on.
Moving forward. Sorry. I cheers you and didn't drink. Sorry.
How's your show going, Birdie?
It's going okay. So we're thinking about moving it to another location where it's a little bit more into the city.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Where is your show?
So it's at Equal Parts, and it's called The Bird Call, and it's hosted by me and Joe Navarro.
Joe Navarro's been on the podcast a couple of times.
Joe's pretty rad.
Yeah.
But what it is it's comedy and it's music. So what we wanted to do is like showcase local talents here in Houston via comedy and music. So that's the platform.
And who's been doing the music?
So just various artists and stuff that we find along the way. As far as we have a DJ as well that DJs in between. I can't think of one artist right now as I say it.
It's like people bringing their guitar or their piano set up.
It's not like just a jam session at home. It's actual artist.
Yeah, my niece just performed at South by Southwest.
Nice.
With her college.
Okay.
She went from through Columbia College to perform a show at South by Southwest.
Okay.
And It's where Andy Richter went to college as well. But she's in Chicago, and then she came to Texas to do that. And she's like 18, but she does a lot of the open mic music in Chicago. And nice. When I started stand up, the Fitzgerald's venue was comedy and music.
Yeah.
And there was a band Caldwell that was really good that would play. And there were Wild Moccasins sometimes, I think, played there like in the 2010s, early 2010s.
Okay. Yeah.
What are some other? Do you know any local bands from Houston that were like, you know, that you might have seen on the come up? Or like,
no, I can't think of anyone like right now. I've seen a lot of fucking shows.
That were like, God, I can't think of their band's names either.
Reagan Rejects.
Satin Hooks.
Okay, I don't know who that is.
Oh, that's an old. And then there was that one band that went on tour with Beach House for a long time, with Jana Hunter's band. What's it called? I don't know. Houston has music that I never experienced it because all I do is go to comedy.
Yeah, like it has a pretty good underground music scene. So there's a lot of music that happens here and stuff like that. And of course, I can't think of anybody right now. But yeah, there's a lot of music here. Music.
I don't think anybody. We named enough. I think. Yeah, I think this can't be just about
the
names.
Sufferers.
The Sufferers. Yeah.
From Houston.
Yeah. Cam Franklin. Really,
So I don't know if you know this guy. He started small, but he's big now. Paul Wall.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I've heard of swanging
in the rain.
Yeah. There was another guy, I want to say like Bun B or somebody like that.
Bun B, yeah. He did some songs with Beyonce. And
Megan
Thee
Stallion.
Beyonce is
from here too. Yeah,
from
Houston. Those are very local underground artists and stuff. No one may have heard of. They're cool. Sorry, can I have more champagne? I think I drank a lot.
Yeah. And so you've been dipping your toe or just doing going full out with the stand up. I've known you for what, like 7 or 8 years?
Nine years? Nine.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you just started going up on stage this year?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So I actually went up on stage last year. It was December 30th. So I have 1 year last or one stage performance last.
And
year.
I remember you did the roast or the You Look Like
Yeah, Kate kicked my ass. I know that you wrote for her because you told me and you wouldn't write for me. Hi, Bob. Good to see you again.
Okay. I don't think she used anything I wrote for her. I didn't say anything good. I don't remember. I'm not good at those. That's the I hate doing that exercise, but I'll do anything. If somebody wants me to be on a show, I'll be like, I'll try it.
Yeah.
Because I want to just test myself and prove myself. But like writing for roasts is not my favorite. I think it gets you into bad habits about thinking about like the worst in people.
Yeah. I feel like I'm not a good roaster because I'll be like too malicious and like, they're like, that's not a joke. That's hurtful.
Like, but just kind of like the exercise of writing 30 or 40 things to like talk shit about somebody makes you not like them as much, you know, or makes you like, oh my God, I've like if you list all the things that like I wrote like 30 roasts of Emily Peacock
the next day I
was like, hey Emily, let me read all 30 of the things I said about you to like, you know, tear you down for our roast head to head matchup, and it was like, jeez, you know, it's like,
wow, what did she say?
She was like, oh my God. She's like, had her feelings hurt because I was saying the meanest shit I could think of. Like, I don't know, you forget how to read sometimes.
Yeah.
She's a professor, an accomplished person. You know, she's done lots of amazing things, and she has but I'm just calling her an idiot and slow and like, you know, ugly and, you know, crazy.
Wow, that's
and,
pretty hurtful.
I'm like, you're going to say hateful things about me. So, you know, here's the line I'm going to
wait.
Shoot.
So are you and Emily going against each other?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Nice. And I went up against Julie Talbert a couple of years ago and wrote a lot of stuff. And it just like, I feel like it tests the friendship.
Yeah. Because
and
Julie
I'm tired of this.
Right,
like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
in Austin.
Wasn't because of me, but like.
I don't know, Bob. I hadn't seen Emily in a while either, so.
Yeah, I see Emily all the time.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Guys are still friends.
Yeah, we host the successful show together.
That's right.
And she curated the gallery show that I was featured on. And
nice.
And we did an Instagram live of the gallery show. And through that, this art collector who saw Emily posting her Instagram live contacted Emily and said he really liked my drawings. And then he looked through my Instagram and picked a drawing. And then I sold a drawing for like pretty good money, $250 bucks. I sold a $250 drawing.
Oh yeah,
through the gallery, and like that's pretty good for a hobby.
Yeah, no, that's really like, good. And I like your art. I like that it is free flowing and obscured. I don't know. It really captures the essence of people. So I don't know. I admire it. I'd pay for it.
Ah, thanks.
I've actually offered to, and you still haven't given me my...
What was your choice? I don't remember. When did you...
Jesus, this was like a year ago.
Or did you ask me to draw something?
No, you had one on your Instagram. Actually, I think I want to say you sold it.
Oh. Okay. Well, yeah, anytime you want to buy a drawing from me, it's find me at Pencil Blobs on Instagram. And, yeah, it was fun. We did a comedy show... amongst the on the first floor of the Baskets building. Baskets is a bookstore, and the first floor is a bookstore, and then upstairs there's an art gallery, so it's books and art. And we got to put our stuff up in the art gallery. And
I did not know that Tess was an artist as well.
Oh yeah, Tess sold a work. Tess sold a piece, and Emily sold a piece. And then I sold a drawing from...
Wait, she also does, like, not ceramics, but, like, clay?
Yeah, and she does sculpture.
Sculptures?
Yeah.
That's oh, and Kate, too. Oh, wow, so it's, like, all of you guys.
Yeah, it was...
George Burrito,
Tess Vergault, Kate Vance, Emily Peacock, Bob Morrissey. And we performed a comedy show and... at the bookstore. He moved the shelves and put some chairs out, and there were like 30 people, and it was a fun event.
Yeah, very nice. So what else is going on?
Nothing really. I don't know, I'm just still working my strip club DJ job, and I'm drawing my little pictures every day and reading my book about Lincoln, and broke up with my boyfriend, although it's not like an ugly breakup. It was
amicable.
Yeah, we're just more, I think, friends than we're not lovers anymore. And it's just like, let's just face it, we're never gonna fuck again. It's like, we're never going to fuck each other again. So let's try to find other people. I don't hate you. I wasn't burned. I have nothing but nice things to say about
Andy. He's a pretty rad
He's a great guy. He's funny. And like,
so how long did it take you to get to that? Or you guys get to that?
It was just a slow realization. But like, I don't know. We dated for 2.5 years, and, I just don't think that I lost Andy probably about a year and a half ago. And it was never the same after I, hurt his feelings one night by not believing his he went to the hospital, and I went, and he was waiting for like 2 days to get seen. And he needed some food, and I went to a McDonald's and got him. He wanted McDonald's, and so then I, like, in an effort to drop it off, it took like an hour to get through the traffic to drop off his McDonald's, and he was waiting outside, and I had like cars behind me, and I was a little like probably stoned or something, and I was just like frustrated from the midday cross-town traffic.
Yeah.
And then I was like, here's your food! And it was like 20 minutes late, and I was like, I got him with the car, but here's your fucking food! But I ran to get it. I was driving for an hour to go what would take 5 minutes if there were no traffic.
Yeah.
And it had like the stress of cars behind me. And then he'd been up for like 2 days waiting to get seen. And he's just so stressed. And then he was like calling over and over again, like, where are you? And then I'm just like, with the car. I just get stressed driving and like, especially roundabouts where everybody's on top of you. And then cars are honking and you're angry because of, schools getting out and school zones and whatever.
So what kept you in it for a year, you said? Was it comfortability?
Well, the companionship. I love him. And we have a good time talking to each other. And we watch movies and eat dinner together all the time. And we're friends with all the same people. And it's it had become kind of like we like going out together and calling each other boyfriend. But like the passion had left after he went to the hospital that time, and like it was on the weekend when I was opening for Maria Bamford.
Yeah.
And it was like a big deal to me to be opening for Maria Bamford, and then he couldn't come to the shows, and then he was like saying, you just don't believe that I'm actually sick. And I'm like, yeah, I think you should get some sleep. You don't need to go to the emergency room for he was going to get a spinal tap.
Oh, shit. That's serious.
To determine where the pain was coming from and what was making him so feel so ill. And I think a lot of it was panic. And I've lived with panic. And I guess maybe I just don't have enough patience for it.
Do you think, in a sense, that's the way that you are the same as Abraham Lincoln?
I'm just oblivious to danger.
Yeah.
Yeah, and panic doesn't really get me upset, you know? I've had a gun held to my head before. I didn't even care. I was like, come on, give me the $20. Give me the $20. I was like, come on, what are you doing?
Nice. That was a fun story. But I can definitely relate. I was in an 8-year relationship.
Yeah.
And for 6 of it was sexless. Like, we had no sex for the last 6 years of it. And, it was not good. It was horrible. But we were friends. And it was the only reason that, we stayed together, as I think about it afterwards. And it was just companionship, me being lazy and not, wanting to be out there.
And I hate Grindr. I hate
same.
Anybody I meet on Grindr sucks, except for Andy was the only good person I ever met on Grindr.
Well, so the guy that I met on Grindr.
Yeah.
As well. And we were together for 8 years. We fucked 2 of those years.
Oh.
And stuff. But I hate it too. So I do have Grindr, and anytime that I'm on there, I'm just wasting time. It's scrolling on fucking Instagram.
Yeah, it's just started to see who would, who would hit it.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Who would want?
Right.
My profile says I just reactivated my Grindr. My profile picture is me in my strip club DJ suit, taking a very serious selfie.
We should go to our
It says Old Slog is my name, Old Slog, and my bio says I enjoy long slogs. Nice. Old Slog, I like slogs. I can slog. I'm tired. I'm boring. I slog.
Wait, is this with the abs right here?
Oh yeah, that's me. I'm abs.
Nice.
I wish I had a lot of chest hair. That would be I wish, I have got a little bit of chest hair, but I wish I had one of those, pelts that, super hot guys have,
otter, right?
Well, I don't know. Is that what it is?
I think that's what it is.
Oh, okay. But then they turn all white and, stringy, wiry, old guy pelts
become all, a goat.
Greatest of all time.
Yeah, right. You said grayest of all time, right?
Grayest of all time. Yeah. Do you think they're going to take away all the porn I've seen they've Dude, made I'm some so inroads into. Pissed.
I have not jacked off since.
You're not gonna jack off? Protest for him? No,
fuck that! It's just because I don't want to go in and put my ID in it.
Yeah,
and I don't like the way that the other like.
I don't want to be monitored or put in a list for looking at if one thing like I get worried that like if you look at free porn the amateur like submissions you know there could be like a Tracy Lords situation or something where like a 15-year-old is doing gangbangs and stuff.
Oh wow!
But like is misrepresenting herself as 18, and then anybody who is on the name of on the list of people who like subscribe to that service that like produced that video that would sense. Be like hunted by the government. I feel like it's like we have a right to be paranoid, right? Like, we have a right to think that like maybe they're gonna use the list of people who look at porn as like first people to eliminate.
But everyone looks at porn,
in some
fashion and stuff, and we all know that the government's like watching us. Mm-hmm. We just didn't need to know that they were watching us.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's like the thing.
Yeah.
And stuff. So, I don't know.
That was like an old Abraham Lincoln story.
You're right.
With, about the man who, you know, was so thirsty and, but he'd been sober and was offered he said, "Oh, I don't need a cocktail. I'll just have a lemonade." And I said, "It tastes a lot better with brandy in it." And, well, "I'll have it with brandy as long as you don't tell me. As long as you don't tell me there's brandy in it, then I'll drink it. But if you tell me it's there, then I can't drink it." That's the way I look at porn. It's okay. Like, don't tell
that's
me.
That's the way I look at life. Don't tell me it's there.
Like, yeah. If there's a problem, I don't want to know. I just kind of want to, you know, forget that it's happening, and maybe I'll be dead before it's even an issue.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I've been almost dead before.
Me too, several times.
Yeah. When did you almost get killed?
When he stopped the porn and I was gonna jump off my roof.
Oh. So
it was touch and go there.
I mean, you can still look at porn. There's still places, but it's like it's Pornhub is. But then I think Pornhub is interconnected with like, what is it? XNXX or
I don't like the
Spike
way that
Bang
or like, I whatever they like have the same porn but just
Red
their,
Tube
like,
or Jizz or what like,
their format is so like confusing and then like you can't tap and like preview it a little bit of it before you like
decide. I was looking at old school porn of like 80s like gay porn scenes of like you know 80s films and I don't know if it was a dream or if I really, but I felt like it was a real thing that I was looking at the cast of this gay porn movie from the 80s and this little blonde twink was named Nikki Haley. And I was like, that's hilarious. Nikki Haley used to do porn and it was like a dude in the 80s who like did porn under the name Nikki Haley.
Find out.
But I think it was a dream. I don't think it really happened. I think or maybe it was just like, I don't know. Porn is in a liminal place. Between, you know, waking and dream life,
right?
Lies porn.
Yeah.
And some of the things you see in your porn are not in your life.
Very true.
You know,
very true.
God, I don't.
She's nice.
I gave up porn for like a week, and
so it was a couple weeks ago.
No, like a month ago.
Why?
Just to see if I liked it. To not have it, and then I started just like dildoing myself a lot more again.
Okay.
And
well, they say if you watch a lot of porn, you become desensitized to like interactions and reality.
Yeah.
And stuff because you have this whole like perception of like what sex is, and it like desensitizes you. So
yeah, it makes it a at home alone experience only.
Yeah, but I also think that porn is necessary. It's maintenance.
Mm-hmm. How so? Like,
because you need to get off, and sometimes you don't want your partner to do it, or you might just be single.
Sometimes you're just alone.
Yeah, you might have a kink that like.
It's the times I've lived without porn were like when I was in the army and deployed in Iraq. Fighting for your freedom. I didn't have any porn.
I feel like that's where porn is filmed. What? That's where they film porn.
Yeah.
So you were making porn. You weren't watching it.
I wish.
I see
you. No, I was just digging holes to empty out the toilet buckets and burn them with gasoline.
That all sounds like porn. It sounds just like porn. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just nice.
Collecting flies by the pits of shit. That's why you
threw up on the dick.
Yeah, that's why I threw up on the dick. Yeah, I was collecting flies by the pits of shit. Yeah. I'm a rapper now. Dropping bars, right?
Bobby. Lil Bob.
A little different. That was my old name.
Lil Bob was your old name?
No, it was a little different.
Oh, a little different?
A little different. Okay. You know, my name is Bob, and I'm here to say that I throw up on a dick a day. I get high, and then I don't. What? Now I'm looking at porn all day. Oh.
Nice.
A little different.
What a track behind it. You can totally sell it. It's kind of like country rap. Yeah. It's almost like folk.
Yeah. I just want to end my each rap with like, oh.
Right.
Oh. That's how you know it's me.
Yeah.
So I go, oh.
Nice.
Shit. My confidence. Would you describe yourself as a confidence man?
It depends. Sometimes I feel confident and sometimes I don't feel confident. It just depends on how I feel. So, but fairly confident overall. Everything.
Are you good at pulling things over on people? Or you play tricks? Do you do pranks? You rip people off. I've never ripped anybody off.
I've never ripped anyone off. I've never even thought about it. But as far as like pranks and stuff, I think I'm pretty good at those.
Oh, yeah?
I had this guy that I convinced that we were in a relationship for 8 years, and I didn't fuck him for 6 of it.
Yeah, that's a good prank. Remember when you thought you had your whole life ahead of you? Nope, your 20s are gone.
Right. Wait, I'm not 20 anymore?
Oh, yeah. Wait. Are you 30? You're not 30 yet, are you?
No, dude. I'm like 42, and I'm about to be 43.
Oh, I thought you were about to be 30.
No.
I've known you for like 9 years. I thought you were going to be 30.
No, I'm old as fuck.
No, I know. I know. We're around the same age. We've always known that.
That was sweet. But, yeah, I'm not an asshole all the time.
I'm dying. See, I was trying to play a prank. I was trying to be a confidence man. Like, I thought you were 30. I thought you were only 30.
Nice.
Oh, wow. So
you do pull the wool over people's eyes.
Yeah.
You're prankster.
Yeah. But just in a good way. You know, like,
in a wholesome way.
Yeah. I never meant to hurt anybody. I don't tell lies because I'm not smart enough. I think if I were smarter, I would tell more lies. I would know what to lie about.
You're smart enough. I think you're just lazy to keep it going because you have to be very like on your lie.
Yeah.
You know, so that's like my thing. I would just tell myself.
I don't remember enough to tell lies. Like I don't remember the truth, and I don't remember people's fucking names or faces. Right?
Yeah.
And like I say hi to people that are like the complete wrong person sometimes. And if I were lying to people, then I would have to remember more than just like the stuff that I can't remember now.
I agree with that.
Having such a hard time keeping up. Like, I'm not gonna make more work by lying all the time. Although lying to make things easier is a strategy, which often I will not tell people what I really think. Like, good job.
You're 30, right?
Yeah.
Nice. So white lies.
Yeah. Or just, you know, go away. Psych. In not so many words.
Psych. Damn, you're old.
One time I was waiting tables and somebody wrote, no tip, psych, but then didn't leave any cash. After I ran the card on the tip line, I said no tip, and then it wrote psych.
That's like a double psych.
But then there was no cash, and I was like, yeah, you don't know how psych works. You don't know how that
fucking kids.
Oh, you are as mean.
Right. Like,
It's not wit. It's just...
I don't know. That's pretty witty. Oh, yeah. Pretty fucking witty. Sure you stood there.
Where's the money?
Where is it?
What happened to the money I worked for?
I'm sure you went, oh.
Why can't I just work for, you know, like I'm... I don't know. One time I got tipped at somebody... So he's like, oh, I recognize you from stand-up. Yeah, you do stand-up when I was waiting tables.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah, I do. I do stand-up. I was so happy the guy recognized me. And then he left $1 tip and then on the when I ran the car. He said, you suck at stand-up, too.
Oh, wow, the joke was on you.
Yeah, he said, you also suck at stand-up. What a piece of shit. I'm your bad waiter and you suck at stand-up. And so I would say keep your day job, but which one is it? You're both terrible, man.
You probably just, heard your dick.
Kill yourself, man. Here's a dollar. $1.
Wow. Which is probably more than you make in comedy.
Yeah.
For some shows.
Yeah, it's most shows. And most shows are a waste of time and nobody has a good time. And
So he overtips
you. Yeah. It's like, nice. I'm just lucky to be there. So I'm just lucky to go to work. You know, at least
right.
I do it for the experience and the exposure. You know, like, now I'm a better waiter. Nice. You know, like I think With things like that in my past, I got elephant balls and iron skin or whatever fucking, that's not how the phrase goes.
Yeah, I've never heard that one.
Elephant skin. Thick skin.
Thick skin, elephant dick.
Yeah, wiry balls.
Yeah, that's
just,
the one
just
I've heard.
Little wiry, you know, neutered cat balls.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like with the balls ripped out, you know, just little wires.
Wait, cat balls are wires?
I know they're like weird. Whiskers, you know, like well, the remnants, you know, there's like, I don't know, just like the where you imagine where they used to be, but you know, it's like a phantom. I don't know. Sorry, my cat got castrated. We shouldn't say neutered. We should say castrated. Have you castrated your cat yet?
Do they show you the balls? You're like, look at this ball. This is what the balls look like.
No, but when my cat's all immodestly. Splayed out with his balls showing. I see, you know, there's nothing. He's like, I have no need to hide. I'm an animal. I'm
not going to. He's like, look what you did me. I'll never smidge more.
Yeah. So are you still friends with the guy that you were with for 8 years?
I wouldn't say necessarily friends. We talk every so often. So he lives in another city now.
Yeah.
But yeah, we were not friends. But I don't know.
I think I know him.
Did I know him? Peter.
Okay. Yeah.
That guy.
I remember you saying that you hadn't gotten laid in a long time back when you were dating him, and I thought it was just something you were into. It was just like
no,
not getting laid and not masturbating, never getting off.
Yeah.
Just
so I wasn't masturbating then either. Yeah.
Oh yeah. How do you do it?
I don't know how. So I masturbate now. And,
oh, good.
Yeah.
Make you happy?
Yeah, until last week.
Mm. No, until they took it away.
Yeah,
they took away your
porn. Away.
What are we gonna do? I hope it wins. Some supporters. You know, like I think we need to criminalize sex for pleasure. I think we need to take away porn and TikTok. I think we need to clamp down on the independent press or, you know, the so-called fake news or whatever. And I think we need to stack the courts with, you know, super arch conservatives who always are proven a point before they look at the case in front of them.
Wait, isn't that what
I think a lot of stuff is going right in our country.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're
American. Yeah,
we don't need porn. We don't need real entertainment, or we don't need like facts or reality to determine the truth. I don't think we need access to reality. I don't think we need schools. I don't think we need hospitals.
No.
I don't think, you know, we should even have people here. I think we should eliminate more and do less for everyone.
Dude, you should really run.
Cut taxes. Yeah. I think.
Yeah. I'm here for it.
I think if you're born, well, fuck you. I think, you know.
You can't fuck anything else.
What are you going to do? Fuck you. All right. Okay. Like, go try. All right. There's nothing. All right. But, you know. Let's go, Brandon.
That's
I think I made a lot of good points there.
Yeah. I'm convinced. I'm sold.
Yeah, I think we're on the right track. I think all is well in our republic, and democracy is strong, and freedom is beautiful, and kings are good, and money is power, and life is easy. If you just listen to those rules, then I think everything you will be healed.
I agree with that.
I think this is like the way to heal is to listen to me.
Yeah, so and it's give, like the new, new Testament.
Yeah, yeah. I think I need to like
the Bob Marcy version.
I need to spread. You know, I watched Blue Velvet. You ever see the movie Blue Velvet?
No.
It's a classic with.
Is it this one?
It's an '80s movie. It's from '80. Okay. Yeah, but it's like a, it's an '80s movie with Kyle MacLachlan, Laura Dern, Dennis Hopper.
Who MacLachlan?
Kyle MacLachlan. Oh, okay. He was the original, you know, star of he was the star of the David Lynch Dune from 1984, that Timothy Chalamet plays now.
All right. I also don't watch TV.
Oh. Okay. No. All I do is watch TV.
Okay.
Yeah. But what was I saying about Dune and Blue Velvet? Oh, there's a great line in the movie Blue Velvet when Isabella Rossellini has sex with Kyle MacLachlan, and after it's over, she says, like, "You put your disease in me. Oh, oh. You put your disease in me. Oh."
I'm going to have to watch this.
And then... And then he's with Laura Dern later in the movie, and she shows up naked in his bushes, and bursts in on a fight that he's having, and then like in front of Laura Dern's mom, and she's playing like they're both teenagers, they're both like 19 or 17, and she's like a woman in her 30s, all naked, like, "Come to me, Jeffrey, come to me, Jeffrey, Jeffrey, oh, you put your disease in me, Jeffrey, Jeffrey. Put your disease in me." And I was like, "That's so hot." And, like, and then Laura Dern made this like cry face that was like a, like the, what's that painting of the Scream?
You know, with the guy.
It's, yeah, yeah. You know, like her face in that movie looks like the Scream. No, it's, I forget. It's that, he's like a Scandinavian or from Denmark or something. What's that dude's name? He's like Cold Weather Country.
Right.
The Scream painting. The fuck, I can look it up.
I know what you're talking about. I just can't remember the artist.
Hey. This is good podcast material. It's Edvard Munch. Yeah, Edvard Munch. I mean, if you're listening to the podcast and you knew it was Edvard Munch before we did, and then I will give you a dollar if you see me in person. I will. That is my promise and guarantee that if you catch up with me after hearing this podcast and you're like, "I knew it was Edvard Munch who made The Scream," I'll give you a dollar, no questions asked. You know, but thank you. Thank you for listening.
And, nice.
Yeah. Do you think it's a good promise?
Yeah, it is a good promise. I'm looking at the dollar right now.
And I think this should be the start of my political campaign, too. I was going to... I think if both Biden and Trump die before 2024, then I'm going to throw my hat in the ring and try to be the first gay president.
Wait, you won't be the first gay president.
Yeah. You know who was the first gay president?
Jimmy Carter.
No, he had a really gay name. It was Millard Fillmore. Fillmore sounds
pretty fucking gay.
Yeah, Millard Fillmore.
Fillmore, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds like he's like a hole that gets filled more. Or do you think he's the filler or the one who gets filled?
He'd definitely be the bottom.
Millard Fillmore.
Yeah.
That's Fillard Millmore. Millard Fillmore.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, that's a great porn name. I might steal that.
Yeah, you know who was almost vice president to Lincoln was Hannibal Hamlin, and that would be a good porn name too. I like the name Hannibal Hamlin. Nobody has names like that anymore. I guess Hamlin. Yeah, it's popular, but Hannibal.
Hannibal.
Hannibal. Can't really use that name anymore after the movies.
Oh, you could.
Yeah.
That's like not using Hitler. I mean, it anymore.
Was. Yeah, Hannibal was already famous from like Carthage or something, but you know, for thousands of years, and then like. You can't call yourself Hannibal.
Well, there's Hannibal Burris.
Hannibal Burris, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I guess he overcame.
Yeah.
He overcame a lot.
Cheers.
Cheers to Hannibal. Well, done with our wine. Almost done with our wine.
Well, you can kill the last of it, I won't be.
Oh, okay. I'm doing the Password show tonight. We're going to play Password for TNA. I'm doing the TNA Bookery night at the Secret Group, testing Corliss's show.
Nice. Yeah, it's a great show. It's one of my favorites. So, oh, yeah. I might pop in. I was thinking about going to Bad Astronaut for the writing class.
Oh, that's on Thursdays now.
Oh, it's not on Tuesdays anymore?
No. We moved our night to Thursdays because they're going to keep it open later. And Thursday, there's more foot traffic at the place anyway. Okay. So, I think... We can keep the mic going longer, and there's more. But the writing thing I'm looking forward to on Thursdays at Bad Astronaut. Nice. 7 to 9 writing, 9 to whatever, open mic.
Hey,
I host it every 3 weeks.
Okay.
It's a challenge. Never seen either.
So will you? I've only been once.
Oh.
So this is probably like a month or two ago.
Yeah.
So Joe and I went. Joe Navarro. Uh-huh. But will you be there this Thursday?
Not for the writing class, but I'm hosting on the Thursday night.
Okay, I'll stay the mic. For that. Yeah, I'll stay for that. Cool, nice.
Mm-hmm.
I got something to do now.
Okay, yeah. I'm glad you got to meet my little cat, Martin.
Yeah, Martin's pretty rad.
Yeah. Got any jokes you're working on now that you are thinking of?
I do, but I'm still working on them, so maybe you can help me. There's one that I'm working on. I'm not going to do it in a joke right now. But so I used to live in Third Ward. Me and my partner had like some rental properties. And we had a neighbor that lived down the street from us. She was a constable, also a lesbian. So she introduced herself to us because she knew that we were gay and we were like the only gay people on the street. And like months go by and stuff. We build a rapport and a relationship and like that. So one day she like knocks on the door and she says, "Hey, we're having a fundraiser for one of my friends if you guys want to come." And we're like, "Yeah, definitely we'll come." Da da da. She gives us no like back information or anything like that about the fundraiser. So the church that's at the end of the street that we lived at, and like that's where it was held. So the guy that I dated, he had Korean like parents and stuff, and so like. His ideal of like the fundraiser is like you bring a gift that means something to someone and like you give it to them. So we get there and we see this lady in a wheelchair and she has no arms, no legs. She was seriously like a chicken nugget. And he brought this plate that he got from like China and he's trying to like hand it to her and she's just like looking at him. And she's like, "What the fuck?" So he just like awkwardly sits the plate like in her wheelchair and stuff. And we sit down and we're just like looking around and stuff. There's like a food table that's over here. Pictures that are like next to this table and stuff. And we're just like, "What the fuck is this?" So like the pictures look like burnt food and stuff. And like the large pictures, like poster sized pictures. Of like
burnt food
looking things.
Okay.
And so it starts. Jackie's like saying, "Hey, this is da da da, and this is for my friend." And she got down in the water in New Orleans and like she lost all her limbs and stuff. And like she had a really weird, squeaky voice. And like she's explaining that. So like she starts pointing at the picture. She's like, "Look, look, that's her leg. Look, look, that's her arm." And the lady's just sitting there with her head, like, down, looking like a chicken nugget. She was just, like, a torso with a head and stuff. And it was very weird. So she calls the pastor up, and the pastor is at the food table with the deacon or whoever the fuck. And, like, black church is anti-gay.
Yeah.
he walks up to the thing. He's like, yeah, we're here for this lady. We're letting Jackie use the thing for this and da da da. He's like, y'all enjoy. He walks back to the table, picks up a to-go plate, make to-go plate, him and the deacon leaves and stuff. It was wild.
Oh.
So, yeah.
That's a nightmare to have all your limbs.
Yeah.
And then, like, what do you do with yourself after your arms and legs are gone? Other than
what can you do yeah. with yourself? Like, there's nothing.
She could speak.
Yeah, no? She could talk, but like someone has to wipe your ass.
She can't look at her phone. Yeah. Can't check off.
No, but that's also like Stephen Hawking in a way. Yeah. I guess she would have to like blow on one of those thingies.
Oh, that's a. Yeah, is there a point where you don't want to be alive anymore? If you if you got to that point, you'd be like, I still want to keep living. Just see how long this goes.
It gets better.
I just want to see how long this goes. I'm going to sit here with my arms and legs chopped off until I'm 85 years old.
Right.
Because nobody else is doing that. Maybe I'll do a comedy special. I'll just be like, oh, what the fuck are you looking at? That would be my special. I'd be like, who do you think you are? Quit your crying.
You have nothing to bitch about. Yeah, like, she could actually make a living that way.
Yeah, it'd be inspirational.
Maybe she could like do advertising for like McDonald's McNuggets, and they just like dip her in some honey mustard or some like barbecue sauce.
Yeah. I had a scary dream that I was that I called an Uber and he just like went the wrong way and then he locked me in a room. And then I couldn't get to work, and they like set my car on fire, and he had my boss like talk to me about, and he's like, "See, you're fired." And then I was like, "Oh, I'm in a room and I'm fired. The money in my car's gone. Oh no!
That is an awful
Where am I gonna go?
Well, did you make it to your destination?
No. It's so scary. Like, I was so scared. And then I woke up. Like, oh, okay. Okay.
Nice.
Yeah. There you go. I don't have dreams that often, though. Do you have dreams?
Not very often, but I've been having dreams lately.
Yeah.
I can't remember what any of them are.
It's not really about what happens. It's just how it feels. It's just like a kind of, I don't know, trapped and alone in the world, and there's no help and no way out. And it's as if your arms and legs have been chopped off and you can't scream. And that is the Healing Club. And I think that's the end of our podcast, I guess. I don't know, unless you want to say some more stuff. I don't know.
I don't know. Like, what's the ending music? I feel like it should be.
Feel healed. Feel yourself. Feel yourself and heal yourself. Oh.